Alan Kring Productions, in association with Emergent Light Studio, presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, for spring semester 2022. Today, financial analysis applied to stock pricing and all that. And I'm going to go through, essentially, I want to look at a company that was in the news today. I'm going to bring down its financial statements, and we're going to have a look at what those financial statements tell us and how the market reacted to this company today. Now, to start off, the news today was one of the big companies today. Was Amazon, which posted its 10K this morning. Now, let me come here. Give me 1 minute here. And I'm going to share a screen with you. I may share a screen with you here. Let's try this again. Okay, there we go. Now, well, let me switch over here. Yahoo Finance. We had the earnings were posted for Amazon this morning, and that came through the 10K, which was published. Actually, they filed it sometime in the night, and it came out this morning. Now, here is what those financials showed us. Now, let me go here real quick, and I'm going to download filings, company filings, and I'm going to go AMZN, AMZN, come through here, and as you can see, look at that, February 4, 2022, fresh, hot off the presses. Get the interactive data here, and then as you see, view the Excel document, and I'm going to save this file. And will you just find a seat? If you have to sit on the floor, you can, if there's no seats available. And I'm going to stop the share, and we're going to have a look here. Seriously? Let me get in here. Okay, there we go. And let me do this again. See if I can get these financials to behave themselves. There it is. Okay. Now let me come back over here and we'll have a look at this. Amazon, as of the end of the year, they reported consolidated statement of cash. Now I'm going to switch things and move things around here a little bit just so I can get statement of operations. I'm going to get the balance sheet. Well, I will get the balance sheet. There it is. Really, Amazon? Come on. I had it there, and then I lost it. Okay, let me scoot it over here, get it over here by the income statement so we can see these together. And we have net income of a staggering $33.4 billion, up from $21,331,000. So that's almost, that's close to a 45% increase in net income. Well, let the good times roll. It was just incredible. This is the best company on earth, by cracky, and all that. And the stock market responded in kind. Let's go over here real quick and have a look at what Amazon showed. Try that one more time. Let's share the screen. Share. AMZN. up 15.5%. Just amazing. Now, of course, the shares are only $3,208 a piece, so you might want to grab a round lot of 100 of those on your way home tonight. So everything is great. We have a company with a beta of 1.13, PE ratio of a staggering 62.78. Kind of a worry, but no dividend. We'll talk about that just here in a little bit. So Amazon is awesome. Now let's go over here and look at their financials. See, when the markets react, they react to the information in front of them immediately. They see a massive increase in net income, stock price is going to go up. And then they are going to go back and they're going to look at it more carefully, which is what we're going to do using the tools that you have actually now have in your portfolio. We're going to actually do NOPAT. So we're going to need to sneak in a little worksheet right here, insert. So we can find out free cash flow. So one thing that we'll need along the way is to get the operating income, and then we're going to multiply that by 1 minus their tax rate, which is 21%, and then we're going to add back the depreciation, then we're going to take away the capital expenditures and the net operating working capital. The only one that we really need to calculate very quickly here is net operating working capital. So, net operating working capital. Change in it. Well, first we need to get it for the 2 years. And that's going to be the current assets, total current assets, minus total current liabilities. So in 2021, their net operating working capital was $19.3 billion. Let me do that one again. Equals current assets. The numbers are just so huge, it's almost like I can't believe what I'm seeing. Yeah, it was. And now, for 2020, 1 year previous, their net operating working capital was $6.3 billion. So the change, which is what we want to look at, which is what we care about, would be this year's net operating working capital minus last year's. So their net operating working capital rose by nearly $13 billion. It went up. That means that was a drain on free cash flow. That means that almost $13 billion more was absorbed in 2021 by current assets over current liabilities. And if we look up here, we'd see one thing that definitely went up. Their cash went down. Cash holding. And then their marketable securities, those are 1 year or less investments in quick stuff, treasury bills, commercial paper notes, whatever, but things that can be liquidated within a year or are maturing within a year, I should say. Okay. But their inventories went up about $8-9 billion. That's cash being absorbed. That's cash disappearing into their warehouses. And then receivables went up a healthy more than $8 billion. In other words, their credit sales. So in other words, when they post revenues, their revenues actually were not, the money was not what it said on the income statement. It was less than that based upon their credit sales, which didn't bring them any money. It's now on their current assets as accounts payable. So now going around here, current liabilities, they did save some money by postponing paying bills that they said they paid. The income statement said that they paid more than they actually paid. So they saved about $6 billion there. And they also accrued expenses in other categories of, what, $7 billion, something like that, $7.5 billion. So they were saving money by delaying paying things, but they were also using money, especially in building inventory here. That's money that just went up. More, there is almost about $9 billion more in their warehouses this year than last year. So the net effect was that they used $12.966 billion more this year than last year. That's free cash flow going down. Now, speaking of free cash flow, 2021, 2020, I just realized I can't do 2020 because I can't get net operating working capital change for 2020. But anyway, net operating profit after taxes. Now, I do this over and over until you kind of get used to it. On the first exam, I could very well give you a financial statement where you find a free cash flow. The more you do this, the more obvious, the easier it gets for you. NOPAT is nothing but your operating income right here, EBIT, times 1 minus the company's tax rate, which is 21%. And that's what it is for every company. You use that now. Used to be we use 39%, but with that massive tax cut in 2017, it's now 21%. And then we say, okay, there's NOPAT. Just a little south of $20 billion. Now we're going to have to add back the depreciation expense. And as I told you before, what? Oops. Didn't mean to do that. That's the formula. Now, in some companies, you'll find it here in the income statement. Like, for example, I showed you Target has it, but this company does not have it. So we'll have to go over here to the statement of cash flows to find it. And, of course, I didn't put the statement of cash flows over here. So let me scoot that over. There it is. Oh, it's fine where it is. That's okay. Okay, so there it is, right there is depreciation. So now, free cash flow, we're going to say depreciation expense, we have to add that back, okay, equals, put that back here, right there. That's money that actually didn't happen. So they said they spent $34 billion in depreciation. They didn't spend that. That doesn't exist. What does exist is the next one, capital expenditures. And that's over there on the statement of cash flows, too. You go down here to investing activities, and we grab this line. Now, you've got to be careful here because they post, all companies post this as a negative. We're going to subtract it, so we don't want it to be a negative unless we want to add the negative. There are a couple of ways you can do this. What I would do here is I'm going to put this as equals absolute value of that capital expenditure right there. There. And then net change. Net operating working capital. And that's what we calculated over here equals that number. Right there. Whoop. Screw. screwed that up. So now, free cash flow. It's going to be NOPAT plus recovering that depreciation expense that didn't happen, subtracting the capital expenditures that did happen, and subtracting the absorption of cash in net operating working capital. Well, son of a dog. Amazon had a negative free cash flow for 2021. Profit, north of $33 billion, but the company actually bled $17 billion. This is what financial analysis does for us. It gives us the ability to see what really happened. And what really happened here is not a rosy picture. But wait! The stock price went up by more than 15% today. Shot the hell up. So what's going on? If you look, it leveled off and it began to tail. It's starting to tail now as more analysis comes in. At this point in the game, you would see this as possibly not the best investment. That doesn't mean you're going to dump all your Amazon. What it means to a sophisticated investor is that there was an overreaction, overvaluation of Amazon. So you might want to pull back on Amazon a little bit in your portfolio. Use that money to put into something else. Now, if you look at Amazon, the beta is telling you that Amazon is a relatively risky company. It's above one. The price earnings ratio is yelling the same thing. Remember, PE ratio, about 30 is the fulcrum between defensive and aggressive. Here, right now, this company, every dollar that you invest in Amazon, you are betting that Amazon is going to turn that into $62.78. That's what PE ratio tells you. For every dollar that Amazon has just earned, you think you are buying $62.78 of shareholder value for the future. That's a lot of dollars. A lot of dollars. That means that this is a relatively, that would mean that this is risky. You also have profit highly diverging from the truth of the free cash flow. As I said, the astute investor is going to say, okay, it's time to pull back a little on Amazon. But wait, I could get 15.5% buying this now. I can make a lot. No, that information is already there. It's too late. That was hours ago. That information came in there. What happens from now is where will that stock price go based upon a more sober, fuller analysis of the 10K that was just issued and other factors about the company's future. That's what you look at. Not the fact that, well, I better grab that because it's up 15.5%. Well, that means that's already there. You're not going to get that 15.5% jump. It's already happened. And now new information is going to be used. Information like analysts, like me, like you, doing free cash flow analysis. And that's not as nearly the bright picture. So where do we go from here? Now, Amazon is a FANG, F-A-N-G. FANG is the four big young pups, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google. Those are the FANGs. And there are, if you want to stay in the FANGs, maybe it would be better to have a look at something else. Well, Facebook has taken a lot of heat the last couple of days. Let's have a quick, dirty look at Facebook here. Now, here's something I don't understand about why is Facebook has no beta. It has plenty of data to be able to do a beta, but for some reason there's been a glitch. It's not showing a beta. But we do have another measure of risk. That's P/E ratio. And if I look at Facebook's P/E ratio, I see a company that is, you'd pay only 17, rather, you'd pay a dollar betting on only $17 coming about from that in the future. That is less risky than putting in a dollar and betting on $62 or $63. So looking at Facebook just on its face, forgive me for that sad pun, it tells us that Facebook might be a place if you wanted to shed some of your Amazon holdings but stay in the FANG. Maybe Facebook would be something you might want to grab. You might move a small amount of your Amazon holdings over to Facebook. So what else would there be? Netflix. We can look at Netflix and chill. Now, both of these numbers, beta is about 1, P/E ratio is a little above 30. So I see this one as being actually a relatively safer investment than Amazon. Now, if you're a risk taker, go for it. Amazon, you might get huge returns on that, even though the company is bleeding cash. Netflix is another story. So very quickly, now, once you get the hang of this, you can do this pretty fast in your Excel. They've got a 10-K that came out just a few days ago. So let's just grab it and have a look, a quick look. Grab that Excel document, say OK. Stop the share. And now let's go over and see if we can find, there's Facebook. Statement of operations. I want to get the balance sheet over here. Statement of cash flows. I want to put that one, scoot that one over a little bit. And then there's my balance sheet. Get that over there next to my income statement. And now we're going to do the same thing. Insert a sheet and call that one free cash flow, just like we did before. And we're going to do the same thing we did before. The first thing we're going to do is get its net operating working capital. 2021, 2020. Did I pull, that was Netflix. I think I said Facebook. Okay. So, net operating working capital, NOWC, for 2021 was going to be current assets. Jeez, oy. These are big numbers, minus current liabilities. Year previous. Holy cow. Oh, these are actually in billions. No, they're in millions. Okay, so the change. Equals. This year's net operating working capital minus last year's. So you can see that they too absorbed cash into their net operating working capital. Yeah.
Are you supposed to take on that asset or total
current assets? Did I take something wrong?
Yeah,
okay. You're right. You're right, I sure did. I saw content and I thought that was current. Let me do that again here. I apologize. Thank you. Total current assets. There it is. There it is. NOWC and then change. Trying to talk and do this at the same time. Okay, so net operating working capital is current assets minus current liabilities. Well, that's interesting. Oh, no. Minus current liabilities. Whoa, that's interesting. Then scoot it over. Oh, they actually brought in cash. Equals that minus. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. Yes, they did. Well, I'll be darned. They actually spit cash out. This is a negative, which means that their free cash flow was improved by that. I'll be darned. Okay, so let's crank it through. Free cash flow. NOPAT. That's going to be your operating income times 1 minus 21% to take account of taxes, add back depreciation expense. Oh, I see. I can't do that. Can't put that plus in there. It has a fit. Okay, so now we're going to have to find that. Let me show you here real quick. Some companies put the depreciation expense in here, but they usually don't anymore. Target did, but most companies don't. You have to go over here and find it. Oh, look at this. There's two lines there. Okay. They'd separate the depreciation and amortization. And then capital expenditures. We go over here to the statement of cash flows. Now, usually companies make this a negative number. Investing activities. Right there, you see it? That's a negative. We're going to be subtracting it. So we don't want to subtract a negative. So a couple of ways you could do that is say, okay, equals. Now, the way I do it is usually. That's going to be a negative, but I want to subtract it. So I'm just going to say absolute value of that number. Let's try that again. It didn't like that at all. Equals absolute value of consolidated statement of cash flows. That guy right there. I see. I screwed that up. Okay, now finally, minus change. Oops, that's right, it does not like that. It doesn't like a minus. Just say change. NOWC. And we're going to get that number that we calculated over there. Equals right there, that guy right there. Now we're going to find out what the free cash flow of Netflix is for 2021. It's going to equal NOPAT. Plus, adding back that depreciation expense that didn't actually exist, minus the capital expenditures, which did exist, minus the change in net operating working capital. Son of a Son of a dog, look at that. $18 billion in free cash flow. Let me emphasize this. Do you see how that is a very different number from the negative that Amazon created? So we see a distinct difference in these two companies. Let's finish this up by having a quick look, a quick dirty look, back over here at Yahoo Finance very quickly. And of course, I went and I. Oh, there it is. Let me pull this back up here. That's Netflix. Now, if you look, let's look at five days should do it. 1 month. Now, notice that there was a massive sell-off there. But then there was this recovery that occurred here. But since then, it has sort of tailed downward. Now, what would that mean if we found the company reported on January the 27th that it had a strong positive free cash flow? That would probably mean that there were other factors that began to play in there. After they had done the report of earnings and calculation of free cash flow had been finished, it rose up on that, but then it has tailed back down for one reason or another. The news is strong. If you were to look inside of the 10K, from what I understand, in the 10K itself, in the management discussion and analysis and all of that, there were troubling signs for Netflix about its ability to gain more markets. It's pretty much across the entire earth now. Also, what's going to happen as more and more competition comes in. So even with a positive free cash flow, a run-up can be taken away as more analysis comes to bear. Now, is that what's going to happen with Amazon? It's hard to tell. Right now, the market is very happy with Amazon. In the days to come, you'll see a more sober analysis. And if you're starting off and you've got a positive free cash flow and the market's still smacking you, you might want to think about what's going to happen as more analysis is done of this company and the negative free cash flow begins to show up in the stock price. This is why it's not easy to do this, but there are signs. If Netflix got whacked having a positive free cash flow, what's going to happen with Amazon over the next couple of weeks with a massive negative free cash flow? It's hard to tell. Last thing here on this topic is, what was I going to do here? I was. Bear with me on something here. Oh, I know what I want to do. Tesla. Up hugely today. And there are reasons why it's not going to collapse right away. However, take a look at the beta, and then have a look at this insane price-earnings ratio. The beta is indicating that this is a really risky stock. A beta of 1 is market risk. This is twice the risk of the market, and that's if you have it in a well-diversified portfolio. If you have it on its own, it's even riskier. But the real scary thing is look at this price-earnings ratio. Again, what the price-earnings ratio is telling you is that for every dollar that is invested in Tesla. The market right now thinks that Tesla is going to turn that dollar of stockholder investment into $190. Yeah. Say that again. I get out of my mojo when I do this, and then I forget. Well, let's do this. And then I get out of doing Zooms, and then I screw up again. Now, again, the beta is 2. That means it's twice as risky as a market portfolio. If you have it in a well-diversified portfolio, if you are investing this on its own, that means that it is even worse as far as risk is concerned. I had a trader talk to me last evening. He works with retail and with clients. A couple, mid-60s, they got $1 million came to them, so they wanted to have it put into stocks. And he said, well, we can do a lot with $1 million, get a widely diversified portfolio. And they said, oh, no. We want 80% of that to go into Tesla. You do whatever you want with the rest of it. Which means that they are throwing 80% of their portfolio into a company that has a risk of this, and they're 65 years old. That's not a good idea by almost any measure. Now, here's the other part of it that is scary, is that Tesla doesn't pay a dividend, which means that whatever you're going to make off Tesla, you're going to make off capital gains because there's no dividend involved, no dividend where you can get some money. And that's the next thing that I want to show you here. Let me grab a company like, I don't know, Ford. Ford is about market risk. It's a little more, a little less, somewhere in there. That has a dividend, though. Now, right now, Ford is at $18.01. This is projected. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to happen, but it's projected to be $21.59 in 1 year exactly. So, in other words, the holding period return is going to be the same as the annual return. And I'm doing this, really. I'm doing this in such a way, bear with me here, yeah. So that I hope you can see what I'm doing here. Now, total return is going to be the capital gain yield as a yield plus the dividend yield. Now, it's a 1 year, so it will be an annual. Now, as far as this company is concerned, let me stop this share for a moment here. $21.59. So the capital gain is going to be $21.59 in 1 year divided by the current price, which is what, $18.01? Yeah, $18.04. One year out divided by the current, so that your total, minus one. Now, if you work that out on a calculator, that would be $21.59 divided by $18.04. You're investing $18.04 now, expecting a return expecting to sell it in 1 year for $21.59, then you have to do the minus one. So in other words, that is a 19.68% return on the capital gain. Now, the company's dividend yield, in other words, 40 cents for each share divided by what you paid for that share, 1803, 1804, something like that, comes out to be about 2.01%. They put it in parentheses right there. Take you off that. So you have a total return of 21.69%. This is your annual expected return to Ford. Now, get my ugly face in the picture here. Here's the thing. The dividend yield is part of how you're going to make money on an investment. If there is no dividend yield, then you are riding exclusively on the stock price itself going up. Now, that's okay if you are an investor who wants that. For a 65-year-old couple to say, well, I don't want a dividend, you are taking an extraordinarily higher risk. With a dividend, it's not guaranteed, but most companies are not going to be stupid enough to cut their dividends. As a matter of fact, Ford, if I'm not mistaken, at one time it was losing money, but it still kept its dividend in place because they didn't want to honk off the investors. They didn't want to hear that stuff. Well, we cut our dividend this year. Oh, God, no, because many investors, they want that dividend because it's like, well, even if the stock price doesn't go up, at least I got my dividend check for the year. Now, that might not be a lot, but it's like, I mean, think about it this way. Look, see that 2.01%? You put in about $18 into Ford, and you have a reasonably good idea that you're going to get at least a 2.01% return on that. That's better than if you put it into a savings account these days. What, a passbook savings account pays you like 0.5%? At least with this, you're getting that, it's not a shabby dividend. Better than nothing. And if the stock price goes up, well, that's gravy. But if all you're doing is betting on that stock price going up, you got yourself a problem. Let me show you exactly what that means here. Go back to Tesla. The only thing you can hope for is that that stock price is going to go up. That's all there is to it. So, the FANG, Facebook. No dividend. Amazon. No dividend. Netflix. No dividend. You see it? NA. And let's do good old Google. No dividend. FANG is not for amateurs. And even FANG Plus, there are a few more of these bad boy companies. These are not amateur investments. These are not income investments. These are, I am hoping to God that stock price goes up. Now, here it says Google Yahoo is saying it'll go from $2,864 a share up to $3,500 a share in a year. Maybe it will, but then again, maybe we'll also have a return of the good old days. That's a highly speculative investment, especially when we can't even see the darn beta on it. Another thing, this is an extraordinarily expensive stock. Now, there is talk that Google is going to do a stock split. Stock splits, they're talked about like they're a very exciting thing. The stock price goes up after a stock split. Yeah, it always does. No, it doesn't. A stock split doesn't actually change anything. You give me a dollar, I can give you four quarters. There's your damn gain. It doesn't actually change the fundamentals of the company whatsoever, not even a little bit. Well, it makes it easier for small investors to get involved in it. You know how important small investors are to the big picture? They're not. Oh, well, if it does a 10 for 1, then people can buy it for $186.70 or 75 cents per share. Isn't that great? It's the same stock. These days, I don't know if you know this or not, you can buy fractional shares. Many brokerage services offer. So I can buy 0.1 Goog, and it, right now, there is no reason why a stock split should do anything whatsoever. Although, when I was a broker, I did a stock split on a company. I helped it along. And then I told investors, yeah, this company's stock split. That always means good stuff. And, of course, people bought it because they believed that. And then, spank me, the stock price went up because I urged people to buy it because there was a stock split. You can't beat that kind of stupidity when you want to make money off stupid people. Okay, so even if Alphabet does split, it's not going to change the fundamentals of the company. This is risky AF, just like all the FANGs are. Young people, absolutely, go for it. But if you don't have time in your life to recover from a loss, and a big loss, you might want to think about some of the less sexy companies, like a Ford or even a Pfizer or something, or a J&J or something like that, or 3M or something like that. That's the lesson for today. That's all I have for you. I thank you. Oh, by the way, we will have a quiz on Monday. It'll be a surprise quiz, okay? Please be surprised.